today we are picking back up our summer sermon series about Holy Communion, and I bet all of you have been on the edge of your seats this whole week wondering how I would put together a sermon about Holy Communion and Christmas. Or maybe you thought, if the gospel lesson is Luke 2, communion isn't even mentioned in those verses, let alone that chapter. And I'd have to say, you have a good point. Well, every once in a while on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy and a guest will play this game called The Wheel of Musical Impressions. I don't know if any of you have seen it. How it works is there is a wheel prop that is spun and it randomly selects a song and an artist that Jimmy and his guest will have to impersonate in the moment. As I was looking for specific examples, I watched some pretty funny clips. You might want to Google musical wheel of impressions. One of the clips was Celine Dion singing Frère Jacques like Cher would, right? So each person does an impression of a random musician singing a random song. Some other examples that the wheel generated were to sing Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes like Frank Sinatra would sing it, to sing the Sesame Street song like Michael Jackson, to sing C is for Cookie like Johnny Cash. They were hilarious. It's quite impressive how both the band and the person could switch styles and rhythms of the songs based on the artists that they were impersonating. And so this week, while I've been thinking about and working on my sermon, this image kept coming to mind, right? This wheel spinning and spinning and spinning. Boop, 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 boop. Christmas, boop, 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 boop. Holy Communion. Okay, Pastor Anna, write a sermon about these two topics. Ready, go. Well, we are all familiar with the story from Luke 2 that was just read. But there are a couple of things that we really miss in the English translations, right? And this is why it's important not to solely rely on the English, because there's a lot more being said that we just don't know. And there are two words that I want us to look at this morning. The first is Bethlehem. In Hebrew, the language that the Old Testament was written in, one of the languages that Jesus spoke, in Hebrew, Bethlehem means house of bread, right? Bet is house, lechem is bread. House of bread. I've got a Jewish prayer book for children here, and if you were to go into a traditional Jewish home and have a meal with them, they pray this prayer and have for thousands of years before their meal, and it says, "Blessed are you, Lord God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, Lord God, ruler of the universe, who brings lechem from the earth." So Joseph and Mary went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called the House of Bread. Luke makes sure that we know that the geographical location, the pin on the map where Jesus was born, is the House of Bread. That's really important. The second word I want us to look at is manger. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room. So manger is the English translation or the English word of where Mary laid Jesus. But if we were to read literally in the Greek, it would say, Mary laid him in a feeding trough or in a feeding box. In our 21st century minds, we often highly romanticize the conditions in which Jesus was born, and certainly books and movies don't help. Jesus wasn't born in a sweet little stable that looked like a cute little barn or a shed. A stable at that time would have been the room or the place where the animals stayed and lived. It would have been dirty and filthy and disgusting. It would have smelled awful for many reasons. It wasn't tidy or clean by any stretch of the imagination, let alone sanitary. It would be the absolute last place you would want to give birth or even expose an infant or child to. And this is the place that the God of the universe is born. And when we think of manger, we probably think of a wooden structure, right? Where the nice, clean, newish wood looks kind of like an X, where there's a bucket for also fresh, clean, nicely looking yellow hay. And I'm gonna have Chip put a picture on the screen for you. My mom took this picture several years ago when she led a trip in the Holy Land. This is a manger. Right, this is a feeding trough or feeding box that livestock would have eaten out of in the first century. This is what Jesus would have been laid in. The word for manger is French for the word to eat. Although in French it's pronounced manger, but it means to eat. You see, baby Jesus didn't lay in a beautiful crib or a sweet bassinet with lovely sheets and a bumper and a crib skirt. He lay in the place, in the container, in the structure, that's purpose was to hold food for livestock. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and laid him in a feeding trough, in the place where food is found. So how is Christmas connected to Holy Communion? In the person of Jesus Christ, the God of the universe became human. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, was born in the house of bread and was laid in a feeding trough. And this baby would later proclaim, "I am the bread of life." He would say to his disciples, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my very own flesh." And on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." You see, by placing Jesus in a manger, in a feeding trough, in the house of bread in Bethlehem, Luke wants us as readers and hearers of his gospel to anticipate the communion story. And as we make our way through Luke's gospel, he wants us to remember that manger in Bethlehem, when Jesus and his disciples are at the Last Supper. And he wants us to remember the manger in Bethlehem, and as Jesus eats and eats throughout the gospel with the feeding of the 5,000 and the meals with tax collectors and sinners like Zacchaeus. He wants us to remember the manger in Bethlehem when Jesus is revealed at the bread, in the meal of bread at Emmaus. Sisters and brothers, this is the truth of what we believe. God didn't just come to us 2,000 years ago. God is faithful and keeps coming to us every single time we eat at this table. In the beautiful mystery, by the work of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of Jesus becomes part of the bread that we receive. Jesus didn't say, "Take and eat, this is a symbol of my body given for you." He said, "This is my body given for you." It's the reason why we cradle our hands when we receive communion. Right, you place your dominant hand upon the other to make a little manger for Jesus. Because just as the very presence of Jesus lay in a manger 2,000 years ago, the presence of Jesus in the bread lays in the manger of our hands. This is the gift and the good news of communion. That Jesus, the bread of life, comes to us over and over again in the bread and wine. Jesus gives his very self to us as food for the journey of discipleship, so that we can give ourselves away to be bread for the hungry. We go out from this place as fed people so that we can feed others. Mary placed her baby in the place where food is found. And today, every time we come to God's table, we make a little manger to hold Christ. Beloved children of God, it is my deepest hope that you may know in the very depths of your being that when you hold the bread in your hands, you are holding the very presence of Jesus, just like Mary held the presence of Jesus in her arms all those years ago. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.